All right, as we get started today, I just want to say hi to all the kids. How are you guys doing? Good. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking this is going to be really, really boring. Yeah, it probably will be. I just wanted to let you know that I know that you know and we all know that it's going to be boring for you. Parents, if you suspect that your kid might be a little bit of a distraction to the people around you, you're probably right. And if you notice that, you can feel free to take them to the lobby. We've got monitors up there and it's playing in the lobby. If there's such a distraction that you don't get anything out of today, go to the Riv Warehouse in the back and ask them for a free CD. They'll know what that means. They'll smile at you, pray for you, and give you a free CD. And we're going to do that during the course of this month while the kids are in here with us. And so we just want to say hi to everybody. Glad you all came. We're glad that we even have the kids here with us. If you're single and you don't have kids or you're an empty nester, just enjoy having the kids in with us because the Bible talks constantly about kids being a blessing. And even the lack of noise from children shows God's removal of his hand of blessing from a culture. So we can just kind of enjoy having the kids in the service with us during the course of this month. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to dive in. So God, we just pray that as we think through this idea of family again today, that you would help us to hear from your word. And we just pray that our hearts would be in tune with you. And we just pray all of this in your son's name. Amen. So we're in this series right now we're calling Nuclear Family, where we're talking about having a family that is not like a nuclear bomb, but is like nuclear power. And we're trying to live this kind of family over here, a powerful family that engages with the culture around us. The first week, we talked about having a gospel-centered family. And then the next week, we talked to dads about leading their families well. Last week, we talked to the moms about helping their dads to lead the family well. And today, we're going to talk to parents, and we're going to talk to kids. But before we dive in, we're going to read an entire chapter of the book of Psalms. Don't worry, it's only five verses long. And I've got some guys who are going to help me with this. My boys are going to come up and read this for us. They're going to be reading from a different translation than the one on the screen because they're going to be reading from their Bibles, and this is the one I'm teaching out of. So go for it, guys.
Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones.
Children are a gift from the Lord. Babies are a reward. Children who are born to a young man are like arrows in the hand of a warrior.
Happy is the man who has his bag full of arrows. They will not be defeated when they fight their enemies in court.
Cool. Thanks, guys. So Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, wrote those words for us. And I love the word pictures that he gives us. He starts by talking about three things that you can attempt to do, but they're going to be all in vain if you don't have God at the center of them. He says, you can do your best to build your house, but it's going to be in vain without God in the center. You can try to protect your family, build walls around your city. It's going to be in vain without God in the center. He said you can work your tail off at your job, work really hard to provide for your family, but without God at the center, it is all vanity. And that has been the theme of this entire series. We've talked about the fact that we need to have the gospel at the center of our families. And so many of our families have work or school or Xbox 360 or sports or something else in the center except for the gospel. But dads, you cannot lead your family well without the gospel in the center. Moms, you can't help dad with that. Parents, you cannot take little kids and help grow them into godly men and women without Jesus at the center of your marriages. Solomon gives us three word pictures of what kids are like. He says, kids are a heritage from the Lord. Now, what that means is your kids are your inheritance. And if you think about it, that really makes sense because when you are dead and gone, parents, your kids are going to be the ones left telling the story of your life. And the question is, what are your kids going to say about you? I used to do high school and middle school ministry. You'd be amazed what I found out about families from high school and middle school kids. Their parents would put on the perfect face of the perfect family and tell me all the great stories of how they're leading. And then the parents would leave and the kids would tell me what was actually happening in the family. Little kids, they talk about everything. I mean, I remember having my little boys in the shopping cart at Meijer, and they were very loud having a conversation about private parts. I mean, the kids will talk about anything. Your kids, their words are your heritage. They're not just your words, but also their lives. How they live their lives after they leave your home and when you're dead and gone is your heritage that you leave behind the world. Solomon says kids are a heritage. They're also a reward. And reward is actually that word wages. They're like your paycheck. And this is in a positive and a negative sense, I would think. For instance, there's one side that says, well, here's your reward. And then there's the other side, well, I guess you got your reward, didn't you? Our children are our reward. They are the reward for the work that we pour into their lives. In fact, that word wages in Hebrews always carries this idea that you get what you work for. Proverbs paints this picture constantly. Just read through Proverbs and you'll see that children are constantly described as a blessing or a heartache. And your parenting is key. In fact, I want to mention that just because some people, when I get to this point, they begin to wrestle because maybe they worked as godly parents for a long time with their kids and their kids went astray. And that can happen because we all have a sin nature. And even our little kids have a sin nature and they can go astray no matter how hard we try. But at the same time, don't throw out all of the scripture that talks about the influence that you as a parent have on that trajectory. It's kind of, it all works together. Parenting is key. I want to read two of the verses again because these are the ones we're going to focus our energies on. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. I love this picture of children, kids, being arrows in the hands of a warrior. I mean, there's two parts of that. There's the warrior part and the arrow part. And these two things have got to work together, both the warrior and the arrows. And if one of them gets off or both of them get off, it just goes crazy. Let me give you an example. Check this out. Because I'm a warrior.
I got a black bag, no crown, I got my hat back, no tribe, I got my rat pack, and it's like that, yeah. I ain't asking for your feedback, or your comments you hating and making, I don't need that. We'll be right back.
All right. So we have warriors and we have arrows, and we're going to talk to the warriors first. We're going to talk to the parents. Kids, we'll get to you in a little bit. You parents are responsible for your children. There's a passage we've read every single week of this series, and we're going to read it again in Deuteronomy 6, where it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets on your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." See, parents, you are responsible for your kids. No one else is. We tend to push the education to the teachers and the schools and say, they're responsible for educating my kids. We push raising our children onto childcare workers and we say, they're responsible for raising my kids. We push our spiritual upbringing to our children to the church and say, they're responsible for teaching my kids about Jesus. And none of those things are true. They may all help you, but you are responsible. You are to walk with your kids and lie down with your kids and have meals with your kids and play sports with your kids. And while you're doing these things, you are responsible for teaching your kids about Jesus. Moses said these words as he was in the desert with the children of Israel. And he knew one thing with absolute certainty, and that was he himself was never going to go into the promised land, but these people were. Because he had disobeyed God, and God said, you don't get to go over there. And so Moses knew they were going somewhere he couldn't go. They were going to be his heritage. They were going to be his reward. And so like a warrior, Moses notched the children of Israel into his bow, and he was going to shoot them into the promised land. I kept telling my kids this week that I was going to teach on how parents should shoot their children from a bow. And that's what Moses was doing. He was shooting the children of Israel into the promised land with these words. But that's a difficult thing. The only time you have to work on your kids is before you release them from your bow. And it takes a lot of work. See, as parents, you guys all start out with children like this. This is how your children start life. And you understand that one day your child needs to look like this. Now that can be a daunting task. And so many people, they just think, I'm just going to worry about it. This will just magically turn into this over 18 or so years. Or they get freaked out by the idea. And so they just try not to think about what their kid is going to be like as an adult. Or they think, you know what? When my kid is a teenager, that's when I'm going to get started on this stuff. But our responsibility as parents is to take this 18 years and carefully make our children into this. When they're little kids, we got to hack some big pieces off. we might goof up on that and then, okay, that's going to be a short arrow. And, you know, but our work is to work as hard as we can. And then as they get older, we begin to fine tune it. We begin to sand it down. We begin to sharpen our children and get them ready to send out into the world. You know, it's not just Christians who understand the concept that this is a parent's responsibility. The whole world knows this. The Houston Police Department wrote an article several years back called "How to Ruin Your Children." And this is what they wrote. Principle number one, begin with infancy to give the child everything he wants. You want a crooked arrow? That's the place to start. Give your kid whatever they want, whenever they want it. In fact, my wife and I noticed this trend before we even have kids, that a lot of kids got whatever they want. They got to do whatever they want. They got to have anything they want without even really asking. So we decided to go to the opposite end of that spectrum, and our kids have had to ask us for everything. So we have this running conversation all day long. Can I have gum? Can I have juice? Can I go in the basement? Can I play basketball? Can I, play Wii? Can I go? I mean, because our kids have had to ask us. We want them to learn that they need to ask and that they're not always going to get every single thing that they want. And over time, as they got older, we allowed them to do more and more things, make more and more decisions on their own. But it was strategic. We didn't want them to think, that they could get everything that they wanted. The Houston Police Department goes on and says the second step is when he picks up bad words, laugh at him. You know, little kids, when they inadvertently use words, we kind of laugh. And it's funny when they're little kids. They get older, it's not as funny anymore, right? Principle number three, never give him any spiritual training. This is from the Houston Police Department. Never give him any spiritual training. Let him wait until he's 21 and then let him decide for himself. That's like shooting this off the bow and assuming it's going to turn into an arrow in the air. Number four, avoid using the word wrong. It may develop a serious guilt complex. Seriously, I mean, think about that. Our culture does not like to tell people that they're wrong. We like to focus on the positive, right? We don't talk about failures. We don't talk about wrong. We talk about the positive side. But kids are wrong sometimes. They're little sinners. I would add that we need to use the word sin with our children. And not only that, we need to let them see that mom and dad are wrong and mom and dad are sinners and we make mistakes too. They go on and say, principle five, pick up everything he leaves lying around so he will be experienced in throwing responsibility on everyone else. That's the Houston Police Department. And now from the Minnesota Crime Commission. Every baby starts life out as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch. You deny him these wants and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He's dirty. He has no morals, no knowledge, no developed skills. That means that all children, not just certain children, all children are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in their self-impulsive actions to satisfy each want, every child will grow up a criminal. What they didn't realize is they were talking about original sin. The book of Proverbs summarizes this in one sentence. Folly or foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. See, parents, you have a huge responsibility. How are you going to take that responsibility? I mean, sometimes we just don't want to think about it at all. We just assume that responsibility will go away. Or we handle it like a wimp. How about handling that responsibility like a warrior with a mission? In fact, if you've never memorized a verse, parents, let me give you one to memorize. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. I mean, our culture has seen this, right? We have kids left alone all over the place. They're left to fend for themselves. They're left to figure things out on their own. And those children grow up to bring shame to their mom. But instead, Solomon gives the advice of rod and reproof. What do those mean? Well, let's look at reproof first. Reproof is what you say. Those are the words you use, specifically words of correction. You know, children don't magically become adults who are mature, who make wise decisions. They need words of correction and instruction in their life. I was thinking about this week about how it would be so simple, even for someone who doesn't know the Bible very well, to use the Bible to give words of correction to their children if they would just read one small book, the book of Proverbs. It's 31 chapters long. And think about this for a second. You've got a kid who is lying all the time. You could take that kid to Proverbs. See, so sad. I love that. Don't you love that sound? I love the little baby noise. I'm glad I'm past that stage, but love the baby noise when someone else has the baby. Let's say you've got a child and she's lying all the time. You could bring her to Proverbs 19, where it says, a false witness will not go unpunished. And then you let them know that this will not go unpunished. And then he who breathes out lies will not escape. And you can teach your children about how if you tell a lie, then later on you're going to have to remember that lie. And that 20 years later, you may not remember the lie, but somebody else will remember you said it. And then you remember some different details. And if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. You can teach your children how they will not escape from these lies. If you've got one of those families where the dinner table just turns into massive arguments, I got the verse for you. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel. Better is a piece of toast with quiet than a house full of feasting and strife. If you've got a boy who's dealing with purity issues, you can just read him all of Proverbs 5 or just hone in on a few verses. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. She's sweet. And her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. I mean, later on in that chapter, you can talk to a kid who is wrestling with not listening to her teacher. And you can say, how I hated discipline. My heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. And I am at the brink of utter ruin. I could just keep going. I'm going to. Let's see. For a kid who is always hanging out with the wrong crowd, you've got Proverbs 4. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they've done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. Your kids know kids like this. They can't go to bed at night because they haven't done something wrong that day. And they're like, oh, yeah. Why can't I sleep? Oh, yeah, I wasn't a rebel. So they run out and do something, then they come back and they sleep well. I mean, we can teach our children through the book of Proverbs. And here's the challenge I have for you parents. If you're wrestling with an issue with one of your kids, this is my challenge. Go to the book of Proverbs, start in the beginning, and just start reading. I almost guarantee you're going to stumble on a verse. Something that you can use. Now, this implies, of course, that you have a relationship with your kid. It implies, Deuteronomy 6, that you're walking with your kid and you're having meals with your kid and you're spending time with them so that you have an ability to speak into their lives with this kind of stuff. That's reproof. Now, what's the rod? I know some of you probably freaked out when you heard the rod because you know that there's two schools of thought when the rod is mentioned in Proverbs. The first is spanking and the second is a shepherd's rod, which is one of those hooky things. That the shepherds carry. Let's talk about both. Let's start with spanking. I am not going to get into an exhaustive conversation right now about spanking. I kind of think it's the wrong timing. But if you want an exhaustive study on spanking, you can read the book Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted and Margie Tripp, or you can go to our parenting class that we have here, and that topic comes up every single time, and they talk it through there. But I'll just tell you my opinion on spanking. My wife and I spanked our kids when they were little. And in our culture has equated spanking with physical abuse. But I don't think they understand what spanking actually is and can be in a loving, godly family. When our children would do something wrong, we would sit them down and say, "What did you do?" And they would have to use their words to tell us what they did. And then we'd say, and what should happen? And they would say, "Spanking." And then we would spank their butts because it's cushy and you can't hurt them there. And then we would pray and we would hug them and we would kiss them and we would talk about sin and we would pray to God that he would forgive them for sinning. And we would have these, and it's a very different environment than how our culture pictures spanking to be. Now, with that said, I'm not one of those people who believes every parent has to spank. I know that there's reasons where some people have a real hard time with that. There's a whole lot of stuff going on there. But I wanted to address that quickly because I think a lot of people in our culture have a wrong view of that. I don't care whether a parent spanks or not, but I do care that you do something. See, the rod and reproof is two things. It's the words you say and the actions that you do. And you have to have both of them, which means you need to, with your children, lay down the law and then say, these are the consequences of breaking this law. And then you, and this is really profound, then you actually have to do them. Now, that may seem really profound or because in our culture, I'm assuming it's not you. I'm assuming it's somebody you've observed. Where you've seen these parents who say, well, if you do this again, this is going to happen. And then the kid does it again. And they say, you know, if you do that, this is going to happen. And so the kid does it again. And so the parent's like, you know, if you do that again, this will happen. So the kid does it again. And they're like, okay, now I'm counting to three. One, two, and then the kid does it again. And so they're like, fine, you're grounded for a month. And so the kid runs into their room. And then the afternoon mom feels bad. She goes in and she says, I'm sorry. You know, you really got on my nerves when you weren't obeying me, but you're let off the hook now. Now, I'm sure that's not you, but I'm sure you've observed someone like that. That does not show consistency to children, and it misses a great gospel opportunity. Your kids need to know that there are rules, and when we break those rules, there are consequences. That's the gospel. And we need to get consistent in doing that with our kids because there's a great opportunity we have. When each one of my kids were really little, there was a moment where they did something wrong and I sat them down and I said, what did you do? And they told me and I said, what should happen? We should get a spanking. And I said, yes, you should, but I'm going to get the spanking, not you. And then as hard as I could, I would spank my leg and then I would tell them about Jesus. And tell them how Jesus took our punishments on him so that we could be saved. And it was a gospel opportunity. I learned that from my dad because when I was in college, there was a year where I was doing terrible in school and I knew the grades were on their way to my dad's mailbox. I had a whole bunch of parking tickets, which I knew were also flying with the grades to my dad's mailbox, along with some credit card statements in which I was in a lot of debt. And my dad called me and said, hey, you want to grab lunch? And I thought, no, I really don't want to grab lunch. And so we went out to Pizza Hut. I'll never forget this. I mean, it's 20 years ago. I remember going to Pizza Hut with my dad. And it was, you know, just a normal chit-chatty lunch. And then afterward, he said, hey, let's go have a seat in the van. And he had a conversion van, you know, with the seats that turn around with the table in the middle so you can have a conference. And I thought, okay, here we go. And we sat down and my dad pulled out the grades and he pulled out the tickets and he pulled out the credit card statements and he said, what do you think should happen? And I'm trying to create some kind of scenario that is a win for me. And he grabs a garbage bag and he sweeps all of it off of the table in the garbage bag and he ties it up and he said, this is all gone. Don't do it again. And it was like when Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. See, that's an opportunity that we have as parents with our children. Okay, we're going to stop talking to adults. We're going to talk to kids for a while. Okay, we're going to move on to the other. Kids, you still with me? You bored? Good, okay. Because you know what? I've done this 3 times. I'm bored too. So here's the thing. Do you remember the dumb guy in the video? Let's look at the dumb guy again. Okay, you remember the dumb guy? Now, by the way, I'm talking to all children, and my definition of children is you haven't left home, you're still under your parents' authority, they're still paying for you. Some of you are thinking, hey, I'm 27 and I fit the category. Yes, I'm talking to you too, and I'm going to be talking like I'm talking to an elementary school kid, and that should give you a little bit of an inkling. Anyway, okay, so dumb guy. Kids, somebody raise your hand and tell me what's wrong with this guy. What's wrong with the dude? He doesn't have an arrow. Look at the stuff he's trying to shoot. He does not have the right arrows. Now, yes, sir. Yes, everything's wrong with him. Thank you. That's my son, by the way. So this guy's got the wrong arrows. And see, here's the thing, kids. Your parents are doing the best that they can to take you from this and turn you into this. They're doing it with their words. They're doing it with the actions. And I'll give you an important piece of information. Your parents are going to make a lot of mistakes. A lot. But they're trying the best that they can. They're trying to work with this to come up with one of these. They're working on your life. You know, like I said earlier, they're going to hack off part of it and realize, oh my gosh, that kid's going to be short. And then, you know, they make a mistake and then they try working as best as they can. And that's their responsibility. They are responsible to do this and you have a job too. Your job is in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. I want to read this to you. And then I'm going to ask you to tell me what your job is. There's 2 things. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Okay, kids, there's 2 things you have to do. What's the first one? Somebody raise their hand. What's the first one? You, what is it? Obey your parents. Now, what does obey your parents mean? If they want you to do something, you do it. The dude's brilliant. Give him a round of applause. Okay. That That's the answer. Now, here's the thing. Why do you obey your parents according to this verse? This is the tricky part. Yep, you. Because they care for you. Now, let's take a look at the verse and see if we can figure it out. Children, obey your parents in the Lord for... Yell it out for me. Can you see it? For this is right. That's the right. Here's the reason you guys obey your parents. You don't obey them because they're always right, because they're not always right. You don't always obey your parents because they're always in a good mood, because they're not always in a good mood. You obey your parents because it's right. See, that's your job to do, is to obey your parents. Because here's the thing. Your parents are trying to take you from here and turn you into this. And sometimes they see something in your life that you don't see. Let me give you an example. I'm just going to call up one of my kids right now. Ethan, could you come here for a sec? This is a perfect example. Ethan. Here you go. I've been meaning to talk to you about something.
What?
There's something wrong with you.
No, Dad, I'm perfect. Nothing wrong with me.
No. There's something wrong with you. I've been thinking about it all week, and I figured the best time for me to talk to you about it is in front of all these people.
But there's nothing wrong with me.
There is something wrong.
No, there isn't.
You just don't know it.
There isn't.
Now, I'll just talk to you privately over here. Okay, so... There is something wrong with you that you don't know about.
No, there isn't.
Can anybody out there tell me what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? He has a kick me sign. Yes, he does. Okay, all right, so, okay. Okay, good, thank you for that. You have a kick me sign on the back of you. Can you see it?
No.
You sure? It's right there.
If I peek over.
If you peek over like that, you can see it?
But not a lot of it.
See, there's something that I see that he doesn't see. And that's what's going on with your parents. Sometimes they're telling you to do stuff. It doesn't make sense to you because you can't see the kick me sign on you. But your parents see it. They're working with you. They want to help you take it off so some other delinquent does not kick you in the butt. Thanks, dude. You rock. Boom. All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah, you guys can clap for him if you want. All right. All right. Okay, you guys have got to trust your parents on this. Let's move on to the second thing. Who could tell me the second thing according to this that you're supposed to do? The first is obey your parents. The second is? What? Honor. He said it. How old are you? 5. He's that many and he got it. Okay, the second thing on there that you guys are to do is honor your parents. While obeying your parents is what you do, honoring your parents is how you do it. That's your attitude that you have. Let me give you an example. You may obey your parents when they tell you to do something, but that doesn't mean you say, fine, and then slam the door of your room in their face. That's having a bad attitude. You need to not only obey them, you need to obey them joyfully with a good attitude and listen to what they say, because again, they're trying the best that they can to form you into this arrow. Notice what it says. It says, this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. What does that mean? Well, that was a promise to the children of Israel that they would live for a long time. So you don't have a promise that you're going to live forever off this, but here's the deal. Remember the video? When I was shooting the wrong arrows, the dumb guy, where were those arrows going? Pfft, nowhere. But when you combine a warrior with a straight arrow, where does it go? A long ways. This is what this means. You honor your parents while they work hard in your life, and you can go a long ways. This is your job. So, parents, what are the two things you do? See, they don't even remember. Let's go. Kids, what are the two things you do? First, obey. Second, honor. Parents. Okay, parents, what are the two things you do? Rod and reproof. And when we live lives like this, people are going to ask why. Because it's so different than how so many people in our culture live. And we'll be able to say, we do this because of Jesus. In fact, not only do we do this because of Jesus, we can't do this without him. And your family becomes an opportunity for you to tell the culture more about him. Let's pray for our families. God, we just thank you that that you created the family. And on behalf of all the parents here, I want to pray that we don't speak the right words all the time with our kids. We don't have the right actions all the time with our kids. On behalf of all the kids here, I want to say we don't always obey all the time. We don't always honor our parents. And we're sorry for this. And we want to change. And we know that we can't do it without you, but we're glad that we have you because you can help us to change. Help Riverview to become a family of families that's powerful. Help to change us from the inside out, God, so we can tell more people about you. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.